Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world to come and don't you see?
Good evening and welcome to Progressive News Network. I'm your host and co-producer, Richard Spisak. I want to thank you on behalf of myself and my co-producer, Mickey Royce. We are so happy to be able to bring you this show. Tonight's show is extremely unusual. We are bringing you excerpts of a presentation hosted by our friends at the Space Coast Progressive Alliance. Saturday night, they had just an incredible event up at Henniger Hall in Melbourne. They had a lineup of guests that was unbelievable. And I don't want to waste too much time talking about it. I just want to let you know you're going to be hearing some of the great voices of Florida's progressive arena. We'll be hearing Dan Gelman.
Until showtime.
And we'll also be hearing some... We'll also be hearing from Alan Grayson. So it's going to be an excellent show tonight. So I hope you'll enjoy the show. First, let me bring you an excerpt of a really interesting comment by Foreign Secretary William Hague. This is out of Britain, on Internet security.
What are you hoping to achieve in the 2 days of the conference? Because there are plenty of conferences, international gatherings like the IGF that discuss big issues in cyberspace, that discuss cybercrime. So why is this different?
Well, I hope this will create some momentum towards acceptable norms of behavior and bring together government at a senior level, at a level much more senior than some of the other events that people have tried. And I hope it will create a succession of such conferences. Other countries will be able to hold them in the future to get us towards the acceptable norms of behavior in cyberspace.
So nothing particularly concrete at the end of the couple of days. You've got a lot of high-profile people talking about big issues, but no big treaty, no big... There was talk of a Geneva Convention some months ago for cyberspace. Nothing like that.
I think it would be very difficult to... It would be possible to get to that, of course, in one short conference. But in any case, a treaty is probably not the answer,
right?
Because there are so many countries involved, and there are so many people involved who are not countries, who are criminal networks, who are companies. And they are not simply subject to countries signing a treaty. And so we need something much broader than that, of a general understanding among countries who will then work together in many different ways in order to protect privacy and protect freedom on the internet, but also try to stop things happening that are unacceptable and illegal offline and stop those happening online.
Isn't the problem that some of the key players, like some of the hacking collectives, like Iran, for example, as a state, the nation state, aren't actually at this conference, and therefore there will be, by that very nature, a limit to what can be agreed as some kind of consensus?
There is a limit to what we're agreeing, yes, and I don't want to exaggerate what will be achieved. This is one short conference, but as I say, it has some unique elements to it, and I think just because we can't do everything at once doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do something. Given that the exponential rise in cyber attacks, the increasing attacks on individuals and companies as well as on states, means we must have a high-level international dialogue about it. And given that the cyberspace is not just something in the gift of government, that businesses and academia are involved as well. So all those things are happening here in London this week.
What do you see as the appropriate role for government in cyberspace? Some kind of regulation? I mean, how do you stop and guard against this increasing wave of cyber attacks that we see?
Well, in a whole range of ways. Clearly, governments have to have appropriate law and regulation. But one of the great virtues of the internet is that it develops in its own way, often more rapidly than any regulation is going to develop. So they also have to cooperate in other ways. We are putting in the UK £650 million additional into cyber security over the next 4 years, but we'll be spending quite a bit of that money to work in close cooperation with other governments, and that means taking our own action to protect our own citizens and our own companies against cyber attack. So more of that between governments is required, as well as appropriate law and regulation.
In terms of the other big issues that you see globally in cyberspace, what would you say are the greatest challenges in terms of being able to create a coherent, positive internet for people to use?
Well, I think having a common sense of how to protect privacy, it's very important to protect privacy and rights to intellectual property, while at the same time maintaining that great momentum towards freedom of expression, that is one of the great challenges that governments across the world can see, that social networking sites have played an important role in the revolutions in the Arab world. That is leading some governments to say, well, we don't want too much of this freedom to develop ideas on social networking sites, and pushing things in that direction and trying to ensure there is freedom of expression online and some freedom of expression offline remains a great challenge in the world.
I mean, what kind of pressure can states like Britain apply to other states that perhaps don't see the internet in such a positive way?
Well, we do apply, of course, pressure for human rights, freedom of expression all over the world, through our diplomatic work, through the alliances we form with other like-minded countries. This conference is partly about moving some of that work into cyberspace, so that we're not just talking about the freedom to protest in street, but we're also talking about the freedom to discuss political affairs with your neighbours, or indeed people on the other side of the world, through your social networking site.
One of the other great issues, of course, is about inequality of access. It's something on the agenda at the conference. But realistically, how can that be tackled when you've got countries like Liberia with very, very low internet penetration? I mean, ultimately, doesn't it come down to basically money?
Well, it does, of course, yes. And you've got these extremes. The well-known Liberia example, only 0.1% connected. Iceland at the other end of the scale, 95% of people connected. So, yeah, of course, in the end, it comes down to their own technical infrastructure. But that is something, as we look at economic deliberations in the G20, as we look at how we spend our development aid, then that kind of access is something that we can start to take into account.
I brought you that information because, as you may know, Julian Assange was refused protection by Britain. He's currently appealing. But if you can appreciate what WikiLeaks has done to inform Americans and the world, what part it's played in the Arab Spring, what part it's played in pulling down the fence that hides the real behavior, that pulls down the lies and shows the truth, do what you can to support Julian. I also want to thank our good friends at Newsstand Media and the Plan Group, Rob Abston and his team, for rebroadcasting our show across his network as well. Now, to a more positive message. My friends, I want to bring you excerpts of last night's incredible presentation by the good people of the Space Coast Progressive Alliance. I want to thank them one and all for the great work they do every day, and also for the fantastic show they put on last night. Here we go. This is the intro and award ceremony of Space Coast Progressive Alliance.
My name is Joe Fishgar, and I'm the president of the Space Coast Progressive Alliance, and I'd like to welcome you all to Progressive Voices. We have a wonderful evening planned for you tonight, but first I want to thank you for coming to this event, and I'd like to say that I'm very proud of the progressive community here in Brevard, and that progressives are surging in strength across the nation and locally. Recognizing the magnificent strides the progressive community has made in the past few years, and those individuals and organizations that have truly made a remarkable difference in supporting progressive ideals here on the Space Coast. Then we'll hear from renowned attorney Dan Gelber on Fair Districts, one of the epic successes last year in seeing true democracy restored to our state. He'll speak to us about the ongoing struggle to ensure fair representation of all Florida citizens and the fight to make the state legislature follow the Constitution. Afterwards, we will have a brief Q&A and then a short intermission. We'll then hear from former and soon-to-be returning Congressman who'll be speaking to us on the subject of what it means to be a progressive. That will also be followed by a short Q&A. But before we begin, a little about who we are. The Space Coast Progressive Alliance is a public interest advocate for civil and personal liberty, the environment, healthcare, education, labor, peace, social welfare, financial stability, and international harmony. This is a mouthful. We advance progressive policies at a local, state, and national level through support of political candidates, education on critical issues, and coordination of activities among local and state progressive organizations. We are the grassroots in America. If you haven't joined us yet, I strongly encourage you to. So please find your way to the membership table in the lobby later on. In addition to events like this one tonight, we also have a monthly social and program called First Thursdays that take place incidentally on First Thursday of the month here at the Henniger Center at 6:30, and all are welcome to attend. One additional note, our guests tonight have graciously donated their appearances here to speak with us, and you should know that the full price of your ticket tonight has gone towards renting this venue and helping to continue the work of the progressive movement here on the Space Coast.
This year's Space Coast Progressive Alliance presents four awards to those individuals and organizations who strive for causes benefiting the well-being and self-determination of soldiers, for protection of civil and personal liberties, and for progressive environmental, economic, labor, health care, social welfare, education, foreign, and defense policies. Now, with each of these commentaries, they are based on the excerpts of the nomination statements themselves. The 2011 Courage in Journalism Award goes to Vicky Mboko, nominated by the
billionaires have a much greater influence over the media and she does with her little blog. I bought 2 Fox News correspondents on the way here. Blonde model, top notch. So remember, profits before people. Education is not for everyone. Global warming just means better chance. We call it a crime. We call it an opportunity. Thank you, 99%, for paying my fair share.
Thank you.
Progressive Radio hosting any additional talk show on WNEL 1300 AM on Saturdays from 10 to 11.
They took their bows. It was a great group, very well received, and as you can tell, very well respected by the people in the audience. It was fantastic. Okay, next up, we had some interesting comments from a gentleman named Charlie Shannon, who talks about the importance of getting out the vote.
Richard Spiezak at Progressive Voices event in Melbourne. And I've got a special guest here. Sir, could you introduce yourself?
My name's Charlie Shannon. I'm well known by too many of you. But anyway, my issue is getting off the boat. We lost the 2010 election because enough people didn't vote. All the citizens over age 18, at least one out of seven, aren't even registered to vote. And of those that are registered, one out of five did not vote in the last presidential election. The Republicans, 91% of them voted, only 82% of the Democrats, and only 64% of the non-party people. Now, what I want to do is get 3,000 people in a congressional district, or 2,400 in Brevard County, to each get charged of 150 registered voters. Now, you don't have to do that every one of them, because some are Republicans, you avoid them, because all they want to do is argue, and the worst part is that excite them so that they go out and organize against your candidate. It's happened to me in my precinct, 19, in Brevard County. Now, what you want to do, you go to those 89 people who are not Republicans, and you ask them to vote on election day for your candidate. And then you follow them up and make sure that they vote. You interview them to find out if they're supportive of your candidate, or if they're undecided, or if they're against your candidate. If they're against, write them off your list. If they support, thank them and go on. If they're undecided, go back and back as many times you can. The idea is that having 2,100 people as neighborhood team leaders looking after each group of 150 voters, we can increase the voters from that neighborhood by 14 votes, which would give the progressive candidate a 52% margin instead of a 45% margin.
Thank you so very much, sir. You have a good night.
Okay, next up we have a nice little couple comments from Miss Amy Tidd of the Amy Tidd Show. So let me bring Amy on. She can talk about her insight.
This is Rick Spiezak at Progressive Voices Conference in Melbourne, and I'm fortunate enough to find Amy Tidd. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Hi, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you for attending.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here with my progressive friends up in Melbourne. Amy, you got the new show. How's it coming?
It's going great. It's like this event here, it's an opportunity to get the progressive voices out into the airwaves.
That's good.
Because right now in Florida, the conservatives own the radio station. People like me and you, we turn on the radio and no one is speaking the words that speak to our hearts.
That's right. And I understand your show just expanded?
It did. We're on AM 1300 WMEL, and it's on from 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings till 11.
That's fantastic.
We were real thrilled in 20. I actually had the pleasure of having you on Breakdown.
That's great. So listen, you're on the internet too. What's the web address so people across the state can listen?
It's am1300wmel.com.
That's great.
And we have really been focusing on the Occupy Wall Street movement that's happening. I'm just fascinated by it. Third week I've been having different people from Occupy Melbourne and Occupy St.
That's great, and I understand you just went to New York and you talked to people there at Occupy New York.
We did. We went right down to Zuccotti Park and saw democracy in action. It was amazing. The whole day, and there was people everywhere. About 300 people were at an assembly. They were working out issues. People were helping each other. It was a great spirit of community. And this is spreading throughout the whole country. So
you got to participate in one of the General Assemblies then?
We did. It was fascinating. Spirit fingers and all that.
That's great.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much, Amy. I'm sure you're real busy talking to other people here.
Well, thank you, Rick, for what you're doing, and I love your show, too.
Thank you.
Keep it on the
Best of luck with your show. Bye-bye.
Well, as I told you, we had some excellent speeches that night, and I'm going to bring you the speech by Dan Gelber. who had a wonderful address. Let me bring him in.
Our first speaker has led a life of exemplary public and community service. A former state representative and state senator, he has been one of the most prominent advocates for public education, health care, and children's issues in Florida. He's an incredibly accomplished attorney and now serves as general counsel for Fair Districts Now, seeking to ensure full compliance with the newly enacted Fair District Reform in Florida's Constitution. Please give a warm, warm welcome to Dan Geller.
What Marco said was at the Reagan Library about a month or two earlier. where he spoke about what has happened to our country. And he made this indictment of our country that's sort of no longer being exceptional. And he pointed to the last 100 years and the programs of the last century, programs like Social Security and Medicare. And he said, I think the quote is, those programs have weakened us as a nation. And I thought about that, and when I think about my own family's journey, and I think about his family's journey, whatever it was, frankly, I'm amazed that somebody would say that. Because the truth of the matter is, Social Security and Medicare have weakened this nation. They have made this nation exceptional. And if you think about what makes this nation exceptional, I believe, and there's a meeting down the street, apparently, and the Tea Party is in your direction, it's on the back down the street, but it's pretty close to you. I almost went there by mistake. That was. But I know what they're saying down the street. And what they're saying is that this country has lost its exceptionalism. And I think that if you step back for a second, what I tell Mark, and I will probably change the name, and I will tell him about it. I did write about that about this, so I think he probably knows about it. I believe that God is only. If you look at who we are as a nation and why people come to us, and you look at what makes this country exceptional, it's that inner voice in our head. We are not exceptional. We are not exceptional because we have incredible intellectual capacity. We are exceptional because we want our children to have incredible intellectual capacity. We support public education. That's what makes this country great, because we can think through our lives. That's what we are doing. We are not exceptional because of our wealth. We are exceptional because of our charity. And because we want people to move into the middle class, to be strong and vibrant and prosperous. That is what makes us exceptional. We are exceptional because we have the strongest military ever. We're exceptional so long as we need that military. The only defense for the protection of democracy. He simply gave us the free will to make decisions about ourselves. And we always have had that. We've always had that inner voice in there that has told us very strongly, that we are going to seek to adhere and respond to our better nature. And we see in everything we do. Those folks down the street, there are different group of voices. And voices like that have come up in this country all the time, attacking what I believe makes this country. And they usually show up in times of economic dislocation. They usually show up in the wake of some economic, some military security issue. They usually attack the organs. They usually do things that, to me, don't make this country exceptional. I will tell you though, every time one of those voices come up, and you've heard them and you've seen them, they came up when McCarthy was running for chair of the Senate. They came up in World War II during Japanese internment. They come up all the time. But I will tell you something about this country. This country is great because we believe in our hearts that we are always going to be judged by how we treat our most vulnerable citizens. Now we come to I'm very proud to be here. I asked the governor, they did go, Melbourne, are you kidding? You have a great go-kart in Melbourne. I love go-kart in Melbourne. But there was no reason I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here because I love the fact that you are not afraid to stand up and speak truly as a professional. So I will tell you this. There are voices in this state that are doing horrible things. We have a governor who, the first day of office, tried to reduce public education by 10%. He's not even pretended to be an education governor. At least we had that before. That guy from the Senate already before. He's not even pretending. I said this the other day, and I don't regret it. I said, Governor Scott had maybe missed Jeb Bush.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring on Kit Rafferty, who's just joined us.
Evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, Kit. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Real good, real good. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Occupy Miami.
I am Kit Rafferty, and I'm the executive director of South Florida Jobs with Justice. We are an organization that is a coalition of labor and community groups. We build power, fight back, and win. We strategize with labor leaders, rank-and-file workers, students, religious leaders, community activists, workers excluded from labor law protection, and many, many others to build a powerful movement of working people to defeat the corporate agenda. And that's about our organization, pretty much.
Great. So I understand that you've been spending some time with Occupy Miami.
I have been. It's very exciting. We have been very, very happy with the movement here in Miami, particularly since the mayor gave an open-ended permit for the Occupy folks here. So we haven't had the problems that a lot of other places have had. As a matter of fact, I was told by one of the participants that the police actually brought them pizza one night. So
no kidding. That's wonderful.
So we've gotten really good cooperation from our civic leaders here. Part of it was because there is a community relations board in Miami-Dade County, and they stood firmly behind the right for people to assemble freely.
Now, if I understand it, Occupy is down by County Hall. Is that true?
It is, yes, by what they call the Stephen P. Clark Center, which is 111 West Flagler. It's where the county commission meets. It's where the center of government is in Miami-Dade County.
Well, that's fantastic. Is Occupy Miami getting some resources from the community?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they are. They've gotten a lot of support from the community. A lot of people are bringing them food. A lot of people are bringing them, coming to speak to them. As a matter of fact, they have reached out to many of our community groups to do some teach-ins, which we're really excited about.
Oh, that's excellent.
And coming up on November 11th, we're going to participate in a teach-in with the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Fantastic.
On the Change Walmart campaign, Change Walmart, Change the Economy. It's going to be United Food and Commercial Workers are doing a whole Respect Associates campaign, and the associates
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have to forgive my sister.
I know the company doesn't respect them. But it is actually a really good campaign. They're organizing the workers to demand respect from the company. And one of the things that the company turned around and did immediately is raise their contribution they must make to their health care plan. Well, you know, these associates don't make it much money anyway.
Yeah,
so they're doing a whole...
Stamps, right?
Yes. And they're doing a whole campaign on fighting those changes for low-wage workers.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do a teach-in on the rights of unions and why unions are important and why hopefully this campaign of theirs will lead to more strong unions in America.
Well, you know, Kit, I really want to spend some more time with you. Let's arrange to have you come on and do a longer segment. Tonight I have to go on to a speech by Mr. Grayson, who returned to Congress. Sure, go ahead.
Can I just mention one big action that we're having?
Absolutely.
Along with Occupy?
Absolutely.
One quick thing. November 17th at Jose Marti Park in Miami, it's going to be huge. It's labor, it's community, it's community groups. And Jose Marti Park is at 351 Southwest 4th Street, and it's at 4 p.m. on November 17th, and we hope you will join us. You can reach me by email if you need more information.
And do you also have a website?
It's not on a website yet.
Okay.
It is not on a website yet.
Go ahead, give us those two dates again, please.
It's November 17th, Jose Marti Park in Miami, Florida, which is sort of near downtown, and it's at 4 p.m., and it's huge. It's a huge gathering. We're including Occupy Miami, community labor, et cetera.
It's so nice to see that. Go ahead.
I want you to get to the speech with Alan Grayson, but this is really going to be an important mobilization.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kit. I'm going to have you back again and give you a little bit longer segment, okay?
Great. I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're very welcome, my dear. Thanks again for coming on, and keep up the good work.
Enjoyed it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've been promised it, and here it is. A wonderful speech by Alan Grayson from Saturday night at the Progressive Voices.
Greetings, angry feedback. Let me see those feedback gentlemen from yourself. Let's turn this out and genuflect toward Rush Limbaugh's $23 million hometown beach. I call the gullibility mention. But this is a great day, it's a great time to be progressive because none of us will have to choose among the Republican candidates. I was on Bill Maher's show a few weeks ago. I said on the show that I thought that Sarah Palin was not running for president because she realized that she could not fit the oath of office on her palm. Or maybe her idea of quitting early. Now, before really things get rolling, you want to get a head start in that quitting so you don't get caught behind. She came to Orlando. She actually campaigned against me in 2009 and 2010. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you, but it's true. We actually have a video to prove this. And one of the events, she said, Alan Grayson, what can I tell you about Alan Grayson? And she looked at her palm. And then started talking about something else entirely. Governor Christie's also not running, the governor of New Jersey. We Democrats are glad about that because he really is too big to fail. Who is running? Governor Romney, he's running. You know, he just can't make up his mind when he wants to live or this is somebody who probably spends, an hour in the closet every morning trying on six or seven shirts before you can make up his mind with 21 wear. But I will give credit for this. It's clear that, unlike the other one, he actually doesn't believe what he's saying. which makes him a liar rather than a fool. Well, who's running? Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is running. A friend of mine who was listening to Dave recently, about a week ago, speaking to me about it, he said, you know, I listened to Dave and Newt Gingrich sounds kind of crazy. And I said to him, well, he's been listening to Newt Gingrich this afternoon. If you listen to Newt Gingrich this afternoon, 2 years, it'd be crazy. Who else? Ron Paul. Ron Paul's running. I'm not going to say anything about Ron Paul because, you know, nobody ever does. I actually know Ron Paul quite well. Worked on some legislation together, and I will say that he is a man of principle, and he has a heart, which means he's completely unqualified to be the Republican nominee. He's got a chance in hell. Who else is running? Who else? Yes, Herman Cain is running. But before you get to Herman Cain, let's talk a little bit about Governor Perry. Okay, here's somebody who on national TV looks like he's about to take a swing. Really, about to take a swing. And Ron Paul, who is 76 years old. I mean, Perry doesn't want to just eliminate Social Security. He wants to knock out all the people who are positive. Perry actually wants to been on TV and has actually seen this clip. The report says, Texas is now third in the country in teen births. So how could you is you should be doing nothing but teaching abstinence in public schools. And the governor said, I know abstinence works. I know that from personal experience.
Thank you.
like you're finding each other right here in the room as you just sit. And that's the thing. It's good to know that there are other people who feel the way you do, because the other side wants you to feel like you're isolated. Like there's nothing in your life except you wake up, you go to work, you come back home, you watch their ads on TV, you buy whatever they tell you to buy, and you go to sleep again. That's not life. That's not the life of the We see life in terms of children, sunrises, flowers, the beach. None of those things you can buy or sell, but things that are still very, very important to all of us. And of course, above all, life itself. That has the greatest meaning for all of us. So we progressives, we actually deal in the real world. We don't have this magical belief that somehow or other everything is going to take care of itself. And, you know, if you actually, Kane said this just a couple weeks ago, they asked him, what's your plan for unemployment? He said, I think people should just get a job. Yeah, it's bad enough if you're unemployed. Now, Republicans actually want to blame you for it. Well, your fault. All 24 million of you, it's your fault. Same thing with the sick. You know, when we had a debate about health care last year and the year before, what you heard from Republicans over and over again was, well, you know, those people, they chose them, should not have chosen. And I said, well, because they chose to have cancer. Because they really do kind of think that. They really do kind of think that. But we focus on real problems that exist in real people's lives. So the Occupy Wall Street movement and the people in this audience actually care about the 24 million people who don't have a job here in America that's full time. We care about the 50 million people in this country who cannot see a doctor when they're sick. We care about the 47 million people in this country who now need government assistance to feed themselves. And we care about the 15 million families, including mine, by the way, who live in a house where the mortgage is worth more than the value of the house. They feel that they're drowning because their mortgage is underwater. We care about all those things. And you know, you cannot solve people's problems if you don't even see them, if you don't even recognize them. All those Republican candidates all together, they have a few things in common. One thing they all have in common, to show how groovy and hip they are, their favorite song is the Jefferson Airplane song, Don't You Need Somebody to Hit. And another thing they all have in common, all of them, even the ones who don't really believe what they're saying, they all do believe in their hearts that the fundamental problem here in America these days is that rich people don't have enough money.
Yeah.
That's right. If you simply keep shuffling cash into the laws of the multinational corporations, the filthy rich, sooner or later something good is going to happen. That's what they believe. And they really, really do believe that. You know, I listen to their speeches day after day. One of the interesting things about being in Congress is you actually have to listen to them. You have no choice. 4 or 5 hours a day, they give speeches, you have to listen. You're sort of stuck there and live with them. And that's how we really do things. So they cannot possibly find the answer to the real problems in America. Here's another one. America now has the fifth most unequal distribution of wealth in the world. Nobody's going to talk about that. Nobody ever says anything like that. But the fifth most unequal distribution of wealth in the world. And frankly, it's not working out too well for Zimbabwe either.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. If you click up on our site in the next couple of days, you'll be able to hear the whole speech. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to play the entire speech by either former and future Congressman Grayson or future, hopefully, Congressman Gelber. But those speeches will be up on the site in their entirety. And also watch, we will have YouTube video up of the project as well. So thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank you on behalf of my co-producer, Mickey Royce, and myself, Rick Spezak, news director of Progressive News Network, and mention that we want to thank our sponsors, Imagineering Productions and Media Goddess Worldwide, for all that they do to make these shows possible. I also don't want to forget to remind you, Amy Tidd, 10 a.m. Saturdays, and of course, Gwen Holdenberry and Here Be Monsters. Also, M&A Dillick, wonderful show, and also Left Neck Chick. So don't forget, Tune in to your progressive broadcasters. They need your support. Thanks so much. Good night. See you next week.